everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast here on the Everything Unscripted Podcast Network. Tonight we are doing Fantasy Warfare, the Cruiserweight Title Tournament. I am your host, Doug Hummer. And, of course, joining me is Brother Daniel.
What's up?
Eric is with us.
What's up?
And Kenny, are you here?
I'm here. Yes, he is.
Beautiful.
Hi, Kenny. Hi, guys.
Hey, Kenny.
All right. So, real quick, just to recap how we do Fantasy Warfare, I am technically the Vince McMahon of the group here.
Oh, God.
I'm the biggest piece of shit.
Oh, you're an aging lunatic who lost a touch about 20 years ago?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. He hit the nail on the head.
That was a pretty good description.
Yeah. So basically, going to go through the tournament match by match, you know, round by round.
Right.
Everybody's going to make their pitch as to who they think should go over. And then, you know, it's either majority rules or, you know, what I say goes. So I, in true Vince McMahon fashion, especially since this is cruiserweights and Vince never really booked a good cruiserweight division, this might suck.
It'll be fun.
Before we do that, I got some plugs here. Listen to Boxman and Smart, Dirt Sheet Dudes. Every Wednesday and Friday night, Mixler.com/DirtSheetDudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, usually around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time, right after wrestling. Listen to us, of course, on Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, here on BlogTalkRadio.com/EverythingUnscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Next week will be the part two of the New Generation roster tier list. Got some other fun stuff coming up as well. Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the same channel, Daniel and I will be around for the Unscripted Unlimited show with our toy spotlight, our cartoon spotlight, our comic spotlight, our character spotlight.
Yes, sir. It'll be a fun time. We're going to be talking about some Snyder Cut, too.
Yes.
Just to give a little teaser.
Talk some Snyder Cut. The cartoon we are going to be talking about, which is a cartoon all grown men should be talking about, is Kim Possible. And
you know, that was not what I was going to name, but yeah, that's not bad choice.
I was waiting.
I'll be honest.
Also, tomorrow night, is tomorrow night going to be the live show, Eric, or is tomorrow morning the live show?
Tomorrow night is going to be the live.
Okay, so tomorrow morning is pre-recorded?
Yeah, it's going to be taped.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, here on the same channel, it's going to be Boardroom Annex. It's going to return. We're going to fantasy book AEW's Double or Nothing. It's going to be myself, Eric Boxman from the Dirt Sheet Dudes. Kenny will be joining us. So basically, we're going to give our thoughts as to who we believe should win the matches at Double or Nothing, how we would book it. And no, Kenny, you cannot say that the Young Bucks should be murdered by Moxley and Kingston.
Why not?
Well, they should be, and that's, well, it won't be murder, but it'll still be the same result.
Yeah. Well, I mean, trust me, I'd like to see
that. They think they can draw money. They don't draw money watching the murder live. They can prove they can draw.
All right, on that note, before we all get arrested, then, of course, Sunday.
I didn't say they should do it. I said they could do it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was leaning towards should.
All right. So, also, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Scaredy Cats Horror Show with Mindy. We'll be talking about Prom Night and The Craft. Make sure to check into that. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. All right.
Nice.
Oh, now that we got all those out of the way. All right, Fantasy Warfare, the Cruiserweight Title Tournament.
Meat and potatoes.
All right. 16 men are involved in this tournament. Here are your first round matches. We will have Jushin Thunder Liger versus Tajiri.
Ooh.
Leo Rush versus Rey Mysterio. The Ultimo Dragon and Psychosis. This first match is going to be interesting. Will Ospreay and Austin Aries.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Also, Low-Key and Billy Kidman. Darby Allin and Chris Sabin. Brad Armstrong and Super Crazy. And Kid Cash and the Bastard Pack.
All those matches sound
really
good.
That's an interesting choice of guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Good job,
and again,
Doug.
I should preface that when I made these brackets were done a year ago.
Yeah, we random draw. Too.
Random draw.
Oh, man, that's how it happened.
What's that, Kenny?
I said that's how a random draw, because I'm like, wait, I'm listening to these names, and some of them are obvious. Some of them, like, why is that guy on here, but not guy X? But now it makes sense.
Yeah, it was random draw. And they were done a year ago because, like, I was basically trying to think, like, whatever name came to my head is, you know, whatever got put in the drawing.
Good names. Let's get into it.
So, all right. So your first round match, let's start it off with Jushin Thunder Liger and Tajiri. Kenny, we'll start with you on your pitch for this match. Who should win it and why?
Okay. This is a really excellent match, actually. Like, I wish this was a real match. Geez, that's a tough one. You know, Tajiri, like, he was one of those guys, again, Japanese guy, who kind of was like, I guess you would say he was trained when it was still pretty brutal, you know, to be in the Japanese dojo system. I mean, it's still pretty tough, but they, you know, recent exposures of treatment research students and ties to certain, shall we say, businessmen have causing it to lessen a little bit. But Tajiri was trained, and Jushin Liger are both trained at a time when, you know, you had to be tough to be in wrestling, really tough, not just, you know, you had to defend yourself. So this is a really good match. You know, Tajiri, he can do all the stuff, but he's mainly more of a ground-based kind of a guy, more, you know, striking and submission holds. And Liger, in his prime, was obviously, you know, high flyer, doing, you know, the shooting star press and all that kind of stuff, I believe. Did he invent it?
I don't know if he invented it, but I know he's basically the one that's most known.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so this could be a fun match. God, this is really hard because I really like both guys, but I guess you'd go with, I think Liger would be my pick only because, like, that was the first real taste of the junior heavyweight, cruiserweight, whatever you want to call it, style for America. Like, I remember seeing in WCW, here's this guy, and, you know, he's got the cool get-up on, Voltron-y, Power Ranger-y get-up, and he's doing these things, like, you know, that you've never seen before. And when, you know, when before him, the most anybody was doing was Muda, and he was only doing, not only, but he was doing a moonsault. And so, yeah, I mean, the impact that Liger had, I had to go with Liger. He just, this is a guy you want to see. And another thing about Liger, that, and Tajiri was really good at that, really good as, they both are actually really good personalities, because Tajiri was hysterical with Regal. That was one of my favorite pairings of all time. And, but Liger, for a guy who wears a mask, has so much emotion and expression in his wrestling, it's almost seemingly impossible that a person who you can't see their face can express so much emotion. So Liger's my pick.
Okay. All right. Eric?
I go with Liger because he's a veteran and I think he's just a better wrestler and he's made for the cruiserweight tournament.
Daniel.
Well, this is kind of hard because, I mean, I love Tajiri. To me, one of the more underrated guys of all time. But when you put these two against each other, I mean, it does make sense, especially for the first match in the tournament, for Liger to go over because – he set the stage for a lot of these guys. At least in America, he paved the way for a lot of the cruiserweights and light heavyweights. Tajiri, he's got so much good work out there, and I would like to see at some point. It can be a false finish, but if Liger goes up for a shooting star press and then somehow Tajiri hits the ropes and then Buzzsaw kicks him off the ropes or something, that'd be cool.
Right.
It'd be a very good, interesting match because Tajiri would be trying to, you know, kick his head off the whole time, and Liger's trying to avoid it running around and shit. But as the match to go over, I'm cool with Jushin Thunder and Liger going over.
Yeah, and this is.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Just before I let the boss get on here, Daniel brings up an excellent point. Tajiri's way underrated. If you look at the guys who were in ECW when, I'm not talking about Stone Cold or Mick, like when it was getting big, when it was finally getting national exposure, I would say Jerry Lynn, Lance Storm, and Tajiri were the three best actual wrestlers in the company.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree.
Like work.
Right, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, actual worker, yeah.
And I have nothing against Super Crazy. I think he's a fine talent, too. But I think if you put him with the guys, he's mediocre. Tajiri made him look like $1 million every time they wrestled
each other.
Right, absolutely. And
about Super Crazy later on.
Absolutely.
And here's the thing about this tournament match. And now, as far as I know, even though they're both from Japan, this match has never happened. Kenny, it's never happened, right?
That's my knowledge.
Okay. This is kind of, this is a dream match almost for Japanese wrestling fans.
Yeah.
I don't know if they actually listen to us in Japan or not, but anyway, so like for this match, I would say, yes, Liger will go over here because he is a veteran presence and Tajiri, I would see, kind of giving him a run for his money and basically kicking the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Almost. But Liger coming out and either doing either the Liger bomb or the shooting star press. Because also, too, Tajiri can't hit Liger with the mitt because, Liger's mask has those eye protectors.
You can play that into the match, too. That'd be a fun spot.
Yeah.
Like what Kenny said about Tajiri being so tough, I think it also sets the stage for the tournament and in the match that Liger was able to get through such a tough opponent.
Right.
Such a aggressive, very
right.
style.
Yeah, the guy that, basically he's going to have bruises all over his body and now he's got to go against, whoever's next. And that is going to be the winner of this upcoming matchup between Lio Rush and Rey Mysterio. Daniel, I'm going to start with you. Who should win and why? Again, came up with these brackets a year ago.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, when I came up with the bracket, Lio Rush was actually still with WWE.
Yeah, to me, this one's a no-brainer. I'd like to try to give Lio Rush the win just to, show off the skills a little bit, I guess, but I don't see a situation where we can let Lio Rush go. Everyone, if there is, I don't know if it's a COVID show, if we have fans in attendance, but people are walking out the building if we put Lio Rush over Rey Mysterio. I have nothing against Lio Rush. I think he's a very charismatic young man and he's good in the ring, but you got a legend. If it's a cruiserweight tournament and you take out Rey Mysterio first round, that's kind of messed up. I guess it makes Lio Rush look like $1 million going into future rounds, but still, I can't justify it.
Right.
So I'd put Ray over.
Kenny.
okay, I was going to originally say Rey Mysterio, and if you have to ask, either reason why you shouldn't be allowed to watch or participate or do anything with professional wrestling ever. But I will give a serious response. It's Ray because it's Ray fucking Mysterio. There is no Jushin Liger may have introduced it to America, but Ray made it. Like him and Psychosis in ECW, and then him and Psychosis and Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko in Ultimate Dragon in WCW made cruiserweight wrestling. for America. Like, that was the style. And Leo Rush is, I think, very, he's done some dumb shit, but he's done less dumb shit than other dumb shit that people do. So, you know, I'm not down on Leo Rush per se. I actually think he's quite a good talker.
Yeah.
His wing work is okay. I mean, you know, like, I think they should have done him more with him and Lashley was a mistake. They didn't, but Rey Mysterio, obviously.
All right. Eric?
Yeah. It's Rey Mysterio is obvious choice because he is the more experienced guy. And this is made for him, too. Leo Rush, you can't put Leo Rush over Rey Mysterio, not in this situation, not in a tournament like this.
Not unless we want him to win the tournament or make a big push. Because that's a big stamp.
It is, but obviously, that's not where we're going to go with here, because I think a lot of people, like, Liger and Mysterio, I mean, it's happened a couple of times, but it's good every time it happens.
Yeah, it's good.
So, yes, we'll give it to Ray here.
Yeah, and that's a marquee matchup for a second round.
Yeah. And
I'd like to advance a theory here while we're talking, that Rey Mysterio Jr. may be a mutant of some sort, and not in a bad way, but this is a guy who has been wrestling since he was 10 years old and wrestling his style, and somehow his knees are still working, apparently, and his back still supports him. I would like to advance that Rey Mysterio Jr. is maybe the closest thing we're ever going to get to a real-life X-Men, and that his knees are regenerative. And then he'll be regenerative.
Right.
It is quite impressive.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, think about it. Like, think about Hogan and shit. And, like, Hogan, who, you know, he took bumps but nothing gigantic, and he was, yes, he's a huge guy, but damn it, his knees look like they were, how many knee replacements and hip replacements has the guy had?
I mean, he's had, like, well, and even back surgeries, too. He's had, like, 12 back surgeries.
Exactly. They just, and somehow Ray, wrestling that crazy style, hasn't been in that position.
He's very safe, though, too, for the crazy style.
Well,
he's not like a Jeff Hardy or
I mean, he has had surgery on that left knee a handful of times.
Everybody has.
Yeah. So.
Right, but, like, comparative, too, like, just, like, it's crazy how he
right.
hasn't. You know.
And he'll still do the style.
Yeah, he's very durable.
Yeah.
He's been the same style for a long now.
A very, very long time. All right, next up, this match. We've seen this match 100 times in WCW, but I like it every time I see it. The Ultimo Dragon and Psychosis. So, Kenny, I'm going to start with you. Who's winning and why?
Okay, oh, let's see. Ah, geez, I like both guys. I got to go with Dragon. I think Psychosis is great. But now this will be the original Psychosis, correct?
Yeah, this is
not
a Psychosis. Yeah, this is a Psychosis from WCW.
Okay, because I know there's that weird thing in Mexico where they sell off the gimmicks and you can end up with guys like the L.A. La Parca we know was actually less time Apple Park in Mexico than the guy who just recently passed away. Even though the Park that we would talk about is the better known one.
Right. Well, the La Parca that we know, it can't even go by La Parca. He's known as L.A. Park.
Yeah, and he said it himself that the other guy was way more La Parca than he was, obviously, at this point. So. But, yeah, but I know that in Mexico they do that sometimes. Like, I know there's right now I think both Psychosis are there. I don't know who actually owns the gimmick, but there it is. So just to clarify. So, yeah, like Psychosis, I always thought he was really a cool look. I love that, you know, the slingshot leg drop he would do and his big leg drop. But he's off the top rope are really cool. Always had a cool costume, cool look. He did look kind of... I don't know why, it was just a mask with horns, but he did look like kind of a crazy guy with that hair. But Ultimo Dragon was one... Ultimo Dragon is such an interesting thing, interesting story, because, like, you know, like, I don't know, just real quick, I don't know how many, you know, our fans know, but when you go in Japan, or it used to be this way, you would go on an excursion. You'd learn to do the dojo, and you'd become, a young boy on the roster, and then you go on excursion. And, like, Ultimo Dragon, it gained so much from his excursion that he started doing, really became a luchador more than he was a Japanese wrestler at one point, because he liked it so much. And, he's Ultimo is, I believe, actually Spanish, not Japanese, but Dragon is, of course, Dragon, right? So, the Asai moonsault, the Dragon Sleeper, all those moves, and he always just had such a cool, his style was so badass, he just was, right, he just seemed to, hit harder. In a way, it was kind of stereotypical when they played into, the evil Japanese wrestler where it was just a mean guy, but his style was just mean. He was the first guy to throw those really, really hard roundhouse kicks to the body, all that, the yes kicks, that was modern-day terminology and that kind of thing. I know it's stereotypical, but I just have to say, him with Sonny Ono, I just loved. For those of you who don't know, Sonny Ono has this amazing story, too. Eric Bischoff's friend who, oh, you're Japanese, you can speak Japanese, talk to the Japanese wrestler for me. And he didn't understand anything the wrestler was saying, but now, all these years later, he actually is a real, a booking agent for them. He gets them dates here and stuff, and it's really an interesting story. And even though it's kind of stereotypical and borderline racist, Sonny Ono is a funny character. So Ultimo Dragon, just a very interesting story all around.
Hey, all right, so Kenny's voting Ultimo Dragon. Eric, who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Psychosis here. I think we need an underdog story in this tournament. I think Psychosis would be somewhat an underdog story, especially beating Ultimate Dragon in the first round. It would be a surprise. Why not have a shocker in the first round?
Okay. Daniel?
I like both guys, and I agree with both Eric and Kenny. Ultimo Dragon happens to be probably my favorite Japanese wrestler, past or present. Just everything he does is so slick, so smooth. I mean, Kenny said it best, praise him. There's not much more I can say, but just everything, they talk about how believability is such a big thing in wrestling. Every time I watch an Ultimo Dragon match, I believe he's really doing everything he's doing, and it really hurts. So that's just a skill. I mean, Psychosis, the way he flies around it, he's so smooth. He's one of the smoother cruiserweights. I loved his matches with Ray and even Hoovy. And Psychosis is a great character, too. He's very comic book-like, too, and that's what a lot of the luchadors are supposed to embody. And it's very, kind of like a superhero brought to life. And that's why I really enjoy about Psychosis. But there's something about Ultimo Dragon. He will bring a next level of believability and badassery to this tournament. I think we just need him. We can't get him out first round. He's the man. He's the measuring stick. I'd be fine with him going to the finals. I'm not trying to book ahead, but I just love Ultimo Dragon. I'd like to keep him.
Okay. All right. So let me just kind of say this, because I do kind of, believe it or not, I do kind of agree with Eric saying we need an underdog, but there are still plenty of guys we can use as that underdog story.
Yeah.
So, and I do agree with you saying, Dragon needs to move on. And, I agree with Kenny as well. So I'm going to say that Dragon moves on this one.
Yeah. And even though, I know Rey Mysterio's this cruiserweight of all, you can still throw him in as an underdog.
Yeah.
He's also probably the greatest underdog of all time.
I mean, don't forget, you do have guys in the tournament. Darby Allin is still in here.
Oh, yeah.
Technically, Brad Armstrong, I mean, he's not necessarily an underdog, but nobody would actually believe anybody book him to win anything.
Can we book him as a Arachna Man? Is it the wrong one? That's Brad, right?
Yeah. No, he's a Ragnar man. I don't want to get sued because technically WCW almost got sued because he strongly resembled Spider-Man.
I think Disney will. I don't think Disney's listening. The mouse has big ears, but they're not that big.
Okay. Well, way to kill our confidence. We got Disney to listen to us. All right.
I think it was pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, this one is actually going to be. It could be difficult, or it may not be difficult. It's Will Ospreay and the Austin Aries. Daniel, we're going to start with you.
I have a question before you start. Is this for the King of the Dickheads title as well, or no?
That was going to be my opening statement. Not quite that, but I was like, wow, we got two pieces of shit. Huh?
Yeah. This was kind of like, I guess, the drawing and pairing these two together actually, like, it's almost like two peas in a pod, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to Austin Aries because I think they're both pricks, but I like Aries' work better. Austin Aries, he just, the way he is in the ring, and he is a good talker. I feel like he was kind of TNA's version of CM Punk towards the later year, in my estimate, and not nearly as successful, obviously. But I do think when Austin grabs a microphone, he can be impactful. And it's good to have a douchebag in this tournament and kind of the, fuck everybody else, or F everybody else, my bad.
Yeah.
But I think Aries would be cool.
Oh, are we not supposed to swear?
No, we can swear. I guess I was just trying to be classy.
Yeah.
But
okay, I'm sorry if I just did ask for that.
No, we're good. We're rated R. But Will Ospreay, I've always just found him very overrated. I haven't seen too much of his stuff, so I don't want to get...
I get bored watching Will Ospreay.
Yeah, there's so many better New Japan guys, in my thoughts. I don't like him that much. He's never really popped to me. But, if I'm wrong and there's a match I should watch, definitely let me know.
I mean, the fact that I just said he was boring, I'm pretty sure I just gave a bunch of 50-year-old virgins a fucking heart attack.
He's
in some cases, you're probably helping him out. mercy killing, euthanasia.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to chime in a little bit here, because I like Austin Aries' work. I'm not necessarily, keen on his philosophies.
No, I'm a John Morrison fan. I hate Austin Aries.
Okay. But also, too, personal philosophies. He was actually one of the first people to speak out and say, don't wear a mask.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that. He seems like an idiot as much as he is in the business outside.
He seems like an asshole.
Yeah.
But with that being said, before I go on a tangent and start yelling at Eric, who would you pick to win this thing?
I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to go Will Ospreay just to be different. I think he's the more talented wrestler in the ring, but that's just me.
Okay.
All right, Kenny, just go at it.
No disrespect to Eric, but. I will say this. I think you could make an argument if you force me to. I could make a cogent argument that there is Will Ospreay may have some advantages that Austin Aries doesn't have. I think I actually was near Will Ospreay, so he's a much bigger guy than you would think he is in real life, so that's one plus for him. I don't like his style particularly, but if I'm in that mood and it's him and Ricochet and they, we know what we're getting into, it's actually not a terrible match. And the one time I liked the one match I saw with Will Ospreay was him and Damian Priest. when they were ROH was here in Buffalo, and that was a really good match. So Will Ospreay can wrestle against the big guy really well, which is, I think, a rarer skill for some guys. Some guys can only do against big opponents better if they're smaller guys, but that's neither here nor there. Austin Aries is a complete douche in real life and behind the scenes. However, he is supremely talented in a way that it's like the only way I could describe it to someone who has no idea is like imagine the Ultimate Warrior with the talent of
Shawn Michaels? And,
yeah, basically. It's basically, imagine the, like, personally, he's the Ultimate Warrior, in the ring, he's Shawn Michaels, and that's actually a really good comparison. I tell you what, Doug, do you remember when we went to ROH here at the fairgrounds? You and Daniel, I believe, were there?
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you guys remember it was the day after Daniel Bryan got fired for the first time from the Hulk because he choked that doofus with his necktie?
It was a week after, I believe.
Yeah. Well, do you remember what Aries did?
Yeah, he came out to Final Countdown and he had the robe or whatever
with
on,
the
right?
robot, yeah, and I fucking knew it wasn't Austin Aries going to be Daniel Bryan, but still, Austin Aries got me caught up with it. Even though I knew it wasn't going to be Daniel Bryan, and, you know, deep down in my heart. So he's a talented guy. As far as, like, I see, like, this is, like, so hard. And I will say this, and the only reason I end up going with Aries is because it's just so big. Like, even Jim Cornette said, he's like, I think the man is a miserable piece of shit. I hate him. But damn it, he can wrestle.
Yeah, he can.
Now,
so, yeah, Austin Aries.
So, and I'm also impressed because this is the first time I've ever heard Kenny talk about the show that we went to at the Hamburg Fairgrounds, the Ring of Honor show, and the story he tells about the show is not the story of me getting threatened by Prince Nana.
That's a good story, but my favorite one is actually, if you remember, it was Hero and Claudio. And Claudio, I thought he pointed to Daniel and said, they were beating the shit out of who were the Cheech and Cloudy. And
yeah.
Claudio grabs Cloudy and points at Daniel and goes, this is for you, friend. And he gives him a vertical suplex that looked like it just, like, Cloudy's body parts have, like, been hanging off when he got up.
Yeah, that was the same, because I remember there was, like, an annoying little kid, too, talking shit, and Claudio was fucking with him, too. Like, I think he might have said to him, too. He might have said, this one's for you. But I remember Cesaro, like, messing with that kid and having fun in the match. That was a fun time.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun time. I mean, I'm not necessarily... keen on getting told to shut up by people that are named after my grandma.
He called you bald. He said, hey, shut up, Baldy. I remember that's exactly what he said. Like,
he's like, you shut up, bald man, or something like that.
Yeah, I
remember I was ready to jump the guardrail, and Kenny just looked at me and said, no, just sit down.
Shut up. We don't have bail money. We barely had money to get there.
I want to know what happened to that Pee-wee fella, the guy that subbed in for Davey Richards against Roddy Strong. Remember that? I mean, that might be a deep cut.
Yeah.
His name was Pee-wee.
That guy was good. Yeah, I remember. That
he was
good. I mean, he didn't have, like, he needed a little cosmetic work, but he was good.
Yeah, for, like, just a jabron they threw in, he was pretty damn good.
Yeah, because Davey Richards make the trip or something like that, but... or whatever it was, but yeah, I remember that. All right, so back to this. So we got two for Austin Aries, we got one for Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I mean, the only argument you can make for Ospreay is he's probably the bigger draw right now. But I mean, this is fantasy, so I really don't care about that. I think I'd rather see Aries. I like Aries' work better.
Right.
But that's a
piece. I mean, and I do too. Because here's the thing. Like I said, I was bored by Will Ospreay's work.
Saw a match with him and Kota Ibushi that was really good.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, and Eric, I'm not picking on you. I promise.
I know.
We're gonna go with Austin Aries here.
No, I knew I was gonna get outnumbered in this. No
Is
worries.
Is Zack Sabre Jr. on
I
this
just
went.
No. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I knew I was gonna get outnumbered in this. I just wanted to say, well, Ospreay just to be different, and because we've been green for the first three matches, I think we agreed.
He's trying to get the ratings up, Doug.
We're being too copacetic.
Yeah, I was just gonna say we're agreeing way too fucking much here.
All right,
this one we might not agree on. We got Low Ki and Billy Kidd.
Ooh.
Another one who could have been in the last match.
Oh, the dickhead one?
Yeah.
Billy Kidman a dickhead?
No, Billy Kidman is stupid. What'd you call it the one time, Kenny, with Billy Kidman
and
Tori Wilson?
Oh, geez, I don't remember the joke.
That he had free milk and a cow and he left it?
Yeah, free milk and yeah. Which I stole from probably stole from everybody who ever used a cliche. Probably stole from Arn Anderson. He used a lot of cliche.
Yeah, I remember it was actually at that Ring of Honor on the way to that Ring of Honor show too. We were making fun of Kidman for something. He's like, he's stupid. He had free milk and a cow.
Tori Wilson. The fact that Tori Wilson hit the WWE Hall of Fame before Billy Kidman. Poor bastard.
You know, that she hit it at all, which should be...
yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. You want me to touch it first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Touch the topic. I really enjoy Billy Kidman. I really enjoy Low Ki. It's kind of different from the last one, because maybe they both are kind of jerks, but both of these guys I enjoy watching work. I think Low Ki is a little too unsafe sometimes, but... He's pretty brutal and stiff, and I do enjoy his matches. Now, I feel like we have enough ruthless badasses, though. If we want to go the underdog route and go the everyman route, I think Billy Kidman might be the way to go. Except I don't want him in jean shorts. I hate that he wrestles in jean shorts. But besides that, I would put Kidman over Low Ki. I'm not comparing the two, but we already have that Ultimo Dragon badass go in there, take care of business, and leave guy. We don't need Low Ki. I think we already got that role. So I'd put Kidman over.
Okay. All right, Eric?
I would too.
Okay. All right. Kenny.
Okay, so, I don't know, from everything I've heard, Billy Kidman, I don't know if he's, but, you know, that was just a joke. I mean, honestly, so I want to say that. I do know we can confirm Low Ki is stupid because, and I'm not, you know, I'm sorry to say this. I'm sorry it hurts his feelings if somehow he hears about this. But when you knock a guy out with a fucking cool round kick and then you try to pick him up, you don't pin him and, like, you know, become the kind of thing in wrestling. You try to pick him up and get the rest of your shit in. You're an idiot. So there's that. But I will say, Low Ki is believable, and he's a badass, no doubt. But I really remember, in 20, you know, even though we talked about Jushin Liger, really popularizing the Shroom Stuff Press, it was actually Kidman who I saw do it first. Is part of the flock, but the way, like, his character in the flock, he basically was supposed to be a heroin addict, like, you know, the itching and everything. Yeah, it was very undercover, but, like, he itched a lot. You know, he'd be scratching a lot with the shit, and he looked scummy like all the black guys did. But he was a guy who was, he really stood out from the other small, the cruiserweights in that era because he was like, he was with Raven, and then, you know, they kind of made him a hero, and people got behind him because, you know, he's got the cool move, and, you know, later stuff he did where he kind of put on some weight and stuff kind of became, you didn't really want to see him, but, you know, definitely Kidman is a good choice, but it's got to be that Billy Kidman where, you know, ratty white beater wearing Billy Kidman.
So you're going Kidman on this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am too.
Okay, so obviously, yeah, Kidman is, you know, it's unanimous. We'll go with him there. Not Austin Aries. Low key is another one, kind of like Austin Aries. You know, the philosophical differences are like low key doesn't really seem like a good person. You know, we're not going to go into like a lot of his shit or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, Kidman, and I was never a fan of low key's work.
I mean, it's fine. This isn't a personality contest.
I mean, I enjoy Loki. I think he's had good matches, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I always refer to him as Go P, because that's what I'm usually doing when he's on the TV. Like, I don't even sit to watch his matches, because I don't care. He doesn't make me care.
How about that shitty WWE run, too, Kamal?
Yeah. So...
when you got Michael Cole dunking on you, how is he supposed to get over it?
Yeah, you got a point. So, all right, Kidman goes over on this one. All right, this next one's going to be interesting, and Kenny, we'll start with you here. Darby Allin and Chris Sabin.
Oh, geez. I want to say this. I like Darby Allin. I like his gimmick. I like what he's trying to do. I like what he's, you know, I like what he brings to the table. He needs some work, but he's basically a brand fucking new wrestler on the stage he's in. So for that, and I think he brings, just like a different, not in the same way, obviously, but he brings like that, you know, that Raven kind of disaffected attitude to the wrestling and, you know, the angry young man or the dead young man. I don't know how you'd say it, but Chris Sabin was the first guy I watched in the X Division in TNA. He blew me away so much. I can't even remember the other guy he was wrestling. And I was just, like, blown away by this stuff. This guy was doing the really hard running drop kick in the corner, you know, with the upside in the Tree of Woe, and, you know, the cradle shot was cool. And he was a great contrast to some of the other X Division guys because he was much more of a, he wasn't like Alex Shelley in terms of mat wrestling, but he was much more ground based power kind of moves. And he came off as a badass and for the time. And he was one of the guys, like, when I turned on TNA, I didn't know any of the guys, really. And he came on, I'm like, wow, this guy's got my attention. Now, in the recent years, I don't know what's happened to him. He's become less interesting. And maybe it's because that style was just killing his body. But, you know, I would say Chris Sabin, I like him more, but I'm going to say Darby Allin because he's the one who's performing, you know, right now. At a good level. You know, I don't think that, you know, they're another guy, but Darby Allin brings something a little different. And contrast is never a bad thing, so Darby Allin.
Daniel.
That was pretty much my pitch, too, is that I mean, I like Chris Sabin better as a wrestler. I can watch Motor City Machine Guns. That tag team is, to me, still the best TNA tag team of all time. Up there with, to me, America's Most. But that's a
and Beer Money.
Beer Money, amazing as well. I love Chris Sabin, and to me, he was exponentially better than Alex Shelley, and I like Alex Shelley. But just Chris Sabin, there's just I've seen so many matches, the matches with him and AJ, him and Christopher Daniels, like he just brings something out of guys that are already good, but there's just something about him. I even liked when he won the title, even though that got shit on, like in his match with Bully Ray, right?
Yeah.
Was it Bubba? I thought that was even pretty good. I know they were trying to make him like an underdog with Daniel Bryan or whatever, but I even enjoyed that. I like Chris Sabin. But Darby Allin's just something different, and he brings a different flavor to this tournament. He's, you know, the wild boy, kind of the new generation's Jeff Hardy. That's why I know a lot of people compare him to Sting, but I compare him to that wild, reckless kind of punk rock. That's kind of
– Yeah. So Jeff Hardy was depressed instead of hot, he'd be Darby Allin.
Exactly. I agree with you. So I think I'm going to go Darby as well. I love Chris Sabin.
Eric?
I like both guys. I think Darby Allin would be the underdog that we were talking about earlier, and I think style, it's not necessarily cruiserweight style, but it's unique, I think, so for this tournament. So I think I like Darby Allin in this.
All right, and I do agree with that. I mean, here's the thing: Chris Sabin was one of my favorite parts of the X Division for a long time. Okay, but Darby Allin, like you just said, Dan, he's got that Jeff Hardy vibe to him. I mean, even like JR noticed it, because JR, you know, for the first several weeks of AEW being in existence, would call him the Enigma. Okay, so. He takes the risk that Jeff I mean, yes, he's compared more to Sting now, and, you know,
but,
Kamara,
but that's what you're...
Huh?
Which is goofy. But
yeah. Well, we'll talk about that tomorrow on Boardroom Annex, so, well, Dan, you won't. You have plans. But we'll talk about that.
I have plans, but...
Huh?
Who has plans?
Daniel does.
Oh, I didn't know that. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you'll be with us.
Well, yeah, I might be a tad late. I got my shift isn't over till 7, so.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, when you get here, you get here. But anyway, as far as this match goes, this is actually, like, my favorite match to talk about, I think, here, because I really do like both guys, but I will give it to Darby, one, because majority rules, and two, because he is that underdog, I think, that we were looking for. That Eric had been trying to get like two or three matches in a row.
Yeah, he different flavor.
Doug, you probably remember. Do you remember Darby the Dinosaur? I believe the book that Steve Tasker illustrated.
I don't remember Darby the Dinosaur. I remember Denver the Dinosaur.
Yeah, that's the TV
Denver
show with Steve Tasker. I want to say when he was still playing football when he was still kicking for the Bills, illustrated some books called Darby the Dinosaur. And that anytime I hear Darby, I'm always like, really, the dinosaur? They get to do a gimmick like that, even though it would make it's fucking insane. But,
wow.
But yeah.
I did not know that. All right. Next up, the seventh match in round one. Brad Armstrong and Super Crazy. Daniel, we'll start with you.
Well, I feel like we should just give it to Brad Armstrong because he just had he was given such a bad hand to me, way better than his brother work-wise, not mic-wise. Not saying that, obviously, Road Dogg is probably one of the greatest promos of the Attitude Era. Good for him.
But I think he was the better worker out of all the boys.
Yeah, Brad in the ring was smooth and
fluid. We'll get into that when you come to me. We'll break this down.
Okay.
We'll break that down. But this guy's been given all the fucking gimmicks this poor bastard has had to go through. The Buzzkill thing. You remember Buzzkill?
Yeah.
When Russo was like, it worked with Road Dogg. Let's do the same thing. It will even give you the same music. Just slow it down a little bit. So... he is really good, and he's a really good worker. Good hand. I feel like that's how people would describe him. Brad was a good hand.
But Super Crazy is a wild, he's a wild bastard. And I want Chubby Super Crazy, too. I want WWE Super Crazy where he gets a little fat. And he just, like, first of all, his matches with the, if Tajiri was still in the tournament, I would already advance Super Crazy. Because those guys put on classics. I love those two against each other. I don't really know which way to go with this one, so I'm gonna pass it to my peers to hear what they have to say first.
Okay, Eric, we'll go to you first.
I mean, I know the names, but I think I'll go Super Crazy here because I think he would be a unique guy to advance in the tournament too.
Okay. And remember, whoever wins is going to face the winner of Kid Cash and Pac.
Him versus Pac would be interesting. Okay. So I'm going to say right. Super Crazy.
Okay,
like
Kenny?
Okay, so the Armstrong family. Perhaps the most unsung family in wrestling history, mainly because they... None of them achieved the fame that, you know, or a lot of the other wrestling families, like the Guerreros, all kind of made it, you know, in the Hearts, at least on a local level, all made it, where the Armstrongs, like, only Bullet Bob and Road Dogg ever really went anywhere. The boys, everyone, it's funny, it's like, if you took Bullet Bob and split them into fours, each one of the boys got a piece of the business, and only Bullet Bob got the whole package, right? Like, Road Dogg got the talk. Brad got the work. The other guy, you know. And Brad is such a really good... His finish is a Russian leg sweep. You know how good of a work he has to be to make a Russian leg sweep a finish? And the believable one, too. Another one of the greatest drop kicks in wrestling, too. It's beautiful. Yeah, but he was, you know, he just got a bad luck and, like, he just had no personality, which in front of the back, I've heard he was hysterical, like, very humorous, but in front of the camera, he was just, you know, and they, some guys, they got it, some guys, they don't, but, as far as, and Super Crazy was one of those guys, like, He was just really like a lunatic. Like, they're like, just let him out there, go. And his WWE, like, I can't remember who it was exactly, but somebody, it had to be King, compared him to a bumblebee instead of a butterfly in terms of his body and, like, maybe how it shouldn't be able to do what it does. And
right.
I thought that was brilliant. I'm like, that's brilliant. It is. It's a bumblebee. And he was really good. The triple threat matches between him, Tajiri, and Mikey Whipwreck were just like, are probably the best thing, the last really great stuff ECW did outside of anything that had Jerry Lynn and Rob Van Dam doing.
Right.
It's a tough choice for me here because, like, I really think Brad is great. Super Crazy, Brad. To me, I really can't pick. I really have no strong feelings, so I guess I can give it to the boss. The chairman.
Shit.
All right, boss, make a decision.
Okay.
I mean, Eric gave you Super Crazy.
Eric made a decision here. You two are kind of undecided. And I love Brad Armstrong.
Oh, wow.
Right. I love Brad Armstrong. But we are going to go, believe it or not, and I think this is going to shock the shit out of Eric. We're going to go with what Eric said. We're going to go with Super Crazy.
I'm fine with that. Like, I like both of these.
Yeah.
So
the name alone is Super Crazy.
It's not really a bad decision, though, either.
Yeah.
And I know that Mexico gimmick was, like, highly controversial, highly not okay, but he got that over. And
yeah.
He was the one.
You know what?
Those
guys embraced that thing, and they made it work. I'm sure the amount of money they were being paid, like, yeah, we'll go out there and run more, sure.
Yeah. I will say
probably have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll actually say this about the Armstrong family. They were all kind of like unsung heroes.
Yeah.
There was a story, Kenny, I don't know if you've ever heard about this or not, but back, I think it was in like 1999, there was a family, you know, and a young, I think he was 8 or 10 year old boy. And they were in town. I forgot exactly where it was, but they were in town for a WCW live event. Kid was a huge wrestling fan. And they saw the hotel across the street and they thought that maybe some of the wrestlers were going to be there. So they go to cross the street to get to the hotel. Car comes by, hits the little boy.
Oh, my God.
And so anyway, so, you know, they call the ambulance or whatever. They, you know, take him to the hospital. One of the family members happened to sneak into the hotel and inform the front desk of what happened. Told the front desk what happened, said why they were trying to get to the hotel. So anyway, kid gets rushed to the hospital. They have to prep him for surgery. So while he was, before he got into surgery, Steve Armstrong, you know, one of Brad's brothers, shows up at the hospital as the kid's getting ready to go in. Like, they're wheeling him into surgery. And he's got all this merchandise with him.
Oh, that's sweet.
He basically, he's just like, you know, when you wake up, this is for you. You know, hands it to his parents or whatever. So, like, that just shows the kind of guy that, you know, all the Armstrongs were.
Good guys.
I
love dogs. I got to deal with this bullshit.
I remember I got this videotape from the library once, and it was this, I forget what it was called, but it was really like, it was so like, it was some country show in a high school gym. It was so, you know, like these people believed. It was so like, it almost got to the point where even someone who's like a big proponent of like, need to make the shit real, got annoyed. Because the guys were not up there with the quality of the believability that the people were giving them, except I think George Self was on there, and Bullet Bob. And Bullet Bob, they saved through the rest of this 2 hour stupidity worth it. He just was so good. And he was like 50, 60 years old at the time. That's even crazier. You know, he one of these, I think, like, you know, I compare him to like, one of these just guys who were just these old guys who were just incredibly tough because they lived, you know, through the Great Depression and shit. So they just, like, hard as nails and crap. And yeah, so the Armstrong family is just, it's, you know, they're unsung people. And Bullet Bob, if you can go just watch any of his heel promos when he in USWA as the Smoky Mountain Commissioner, he's just the perfect mix of like you understand where he's coming from as the heel, and he's being such a, you know, he's a bad guy, but you understand why he's doing what he's doing, and it's a rare combination.
Right. All right. So we're gonna move on. I mean, you know, we just talked all this good about the Armstrong family, and yet Super Crazy's going over. So I gotta move on.
Crazy seems like a sweet guy, too.
Yeah. Well, I actually do. Like, he was one of my favorite parts about ECW towards the end.
Yeah.
All right. The last match in the first round, we have Kid Cash and the Bastard. All right, Eric, we'll actually start with you on this one.
I'm going to go with Pat because I know him more, but because I like his style, and I think Pat is a great wrestler and underrated. I'm going to go Pat. I just like him better.
Well, you also have a soft spot for No Good Bastard, so.
That's true.
Yeah, we don't need to know. We don't need to really clarify.
You're obviously talking about yourself.
Yeah.
But, Pac's amazing.
Is that who you're going with?
Yeah, I mean, I do like Kid Cash. There was some of his. I kind of missed the boat on Kid Cash though. Like I have seen some of his TNA stuff, and his tag team run with Jamie Noble was kind of underrated, I guess.
But I just remember him hanging out with Lance Hoyt in TNA and it not being that great. So I just really can't.
When he started in ECW, I should say, I'm sorry, there was like something there.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he actually looked like Kid Rock.
Yeah. Well,
Joey Styles gave him the gimmick. He said, you look like Kid Rock. And they're like, good, get him a cheap fedora and a t-shirt. Kid Rock. Good guy.
There you go. We got Kid Rock.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
I got to go Pac, especially because the reinsertion of the Cruiserweight division, I think we could all agree in WWE, probably hasn't been successful since no one's really talking about it still.
Right.
Yeah.
Pac had it looking like it was going to be a thing. Like when he was still and he came back as a heel and he won that Cruiserweight title from what the fuck?
Rich Swann.
That's when I was like, oh my God, the Cruiserweights are about to have a resurgence and this is going to be a big thing because he was so believable and he was so badass. And that's when he first started doing the heel character because we always knew him as like the superhero good guy Neville. And that's when we knew him as like what we know him today, the Bastard. And
King of the Cruiserweights.
Yeah, the King of the Cruiserweights. And he was just so damn good. And it's just, he is the man. Even with AEW.
Who the hell was doing that voice?
We both did it.
Oh.
Doug did it first.
Yeah. Blame me first.
But he's just so damn good. And even though AEW doesn't know how to book a damn thing, I know I'll get roasted for that.
No, you won't. Not here, you won't. Not from me.
All right, good. There's a lot of things on that show that suck so much ass. And I really wanted to be on board with it at first. But just the management of that show is terrible. But everything that he's involved in is usually good. Even if it's just their stupid bullshit, I really like him. Even on AEW going against like their surplus of guys, his work is just so damn good. So I'll go Pat.
Yep.
Okay. Kenny.
Okay. So I got to say, both these guys I remember like being really interested in before they were start. Like, I remember Kid Cash. I'm like, Kid Cash, this guy was, I remember the first time I saw him was the second ECW video game. And he, you know, and he was doing, I knew he did the double underhook pile driver, which was insane at the time. I mean, still insane as a move, but then it was really insane. It's like, holy shit, double underhook pile driver. And he wasn't like, and the other thing too is like, you kind of get an idea how good a shape he was in because a guy is usually, you don't want to take a pile driver from a guy with skinny legs. So let's just put it that way. Right? Like, I wouldn't let Darby Allin pile drive me. Okay? There's a problem. It's not a knock on him. It's just the reality of how the mechanics of a pile driver work and what would happen if this guy with skinny legs did it. I remember seeing him. I thought his gimmick was cool. It's interesting because Keith Cash, when he was in TNA and a little bit in WCW, he basically was the proto, you know, the Bastard 1.0 version of that. That was his character. He was just a prick, right? A mean, ugly prick. And so he kind of, him and Pac are really good. They have kind of a similar deal. And I liked Pac. I remember seeing anyone, you know, and I always, the man that gravity forgot, and I remember seeing him, and him and Teddy Hart kind of had the same thing, where they looked like somehow, even though they were off the ground, they could get higher than they should have been physically able to. Right? Like, Pac could do things, it looked like somehow, he'd jump up, but he would continue past the point where you think, okay, this is where he's got to turn over to hit the shooting star press, or he's going to, you know, not fake it. But he somehow would get a little further and do it. But I kind of wish they would have, if they wouldn't have done him, made him so, and the Bastard gimmick works because he kind of, like, changes his entire look. I don't know like, what happened to his face or what. I don't know if it's from the supplements he might be taking or not, but something happened to the guy where he just looks like a mean bastard now. Oh, jeez. It's hard for me to say. I'm going to say Pac, though, because just because he brings something. He brings like the he brings a I don't even know what he brings, but I just think Pac's the right choice. I think he can have a good match with just about anybody. Like, he's big enough where the bigger guys look, you know, he's a big enough guy. He's got the size, right? He's not a giant, but he's got size. He's got the look where, like, any deficiencies of height are overcome by his musculature and his look. So, Pac.
Right. All right, so it's unanimous, so obviously we'll go with Pac on this one. I think a match between him and Super Crazy would actually be really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, all right, so this concludes round one. So now round two, we have Jushin Liger, Rey Mysterio, Ultimo Dragon, Austin Aries, Billy Kidman, Darby Allin, and Super Crazy in the Bastard Pack. Let's not waste any time. Let's get into it. All right, Kenny, round two, match number one, Jushin Thunder Liger, Rey Mysterio. Who's winning it?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Okay, so first off, I think, and this is the point where it gets hard to book, because who do you have go out and heal, right? Who do you have, you know, and it seems to depend on who the fans are cheering for, right? I would have to say it makes the most sense, because he's actually done it. Liger, you have played the heel. Mysterio is obviously the face. You know, even when they tried to turn Rey Mysterio face, you know, with the Filthy Animals for a brief period, it didn't work. So you got to go with, I really think that the right choice is Rey, just because it's fucking Rey Mysterio, right? Like, it's Rey. Like, when you say cruiserweight, it's like if you ask, you know, there's a statistic. Like, if you ever want to do an interesting magic trick, like, say to a guy, say, pick a card out of the air. 8 out of 10 times a guy's going to pick the ace of spades. 8 out of 10 times you ask somebody to name a cruiserweight wrestler, they're going to say Rey Mysterio.
Right.
So that's why I think it's just, he's the guy who, you know, he's totally superhero, totally, he's a good package. He's a guy you can believe in. He's a guy you want to cheer for, more importantly. So, yeah, I go with Rey.
Okay. I'll just say this, like, when they tried to turn Rey heel in WCW with the Filthy Animals, they figured, like, whoever, and, you know, Russo obviously figured, all right, well, we can get people to boo Rey because we're putting him in a stable with Disco Inferno.
I like Disco. I think he's a blithering idiot, but I liked him, his character. I remember when he won the TV title here in Buffalo. It was awesome. Him and Saturn, it was a huge pop. It was great. But, like, he's a blithering moron.
Right. he's a dick, too.
And a blithering. He's a dick. He's fucking, as Carla would say, he's stupid, full of shit, and fucking nuts.
Right. So, anyway, so now, Daniel.
I think Rey Mysterio is the clear choice. I think because we have so many good heels in this thing still. Ultimo Dragon, unless you guys wanted to have him bait, but no, I look at Ultimo Dragon as the heel. And
He rides both ways,
and he's good at both. But I just, like you described, with Sonny Ono, and that's my Ultimo Dragon. That's the Ultimo Dragon I prefer, but he's good in any incarnation. But I do enjoy the heel, no-nonsense Ultimo. Now, we need just a top-level babyface. I mean, there's not much more to say than it's Rey Mysterio. You know, he is the cruiserweight. Jushin Thunder Liger paved the way for guys like Rey Mysterio, but Rey Mysterio, it's just like, you can't have a cruiserweight tournament and not have him at least go to the semifinals. You know?
Right. No, I agree.
So, yeah.
All right, Eric?
I agree with everything Daniel just said. I mean, you can't have this tournament without Rey going at least to the semi. And he's been underdog. I mean, he's the other underdog, I guess. And he's the fan favorite.
All right, so we'll go with Mysterio then. I mean, I do agree
I mean, he is basically, I think this tournament was kind of made for him to kind of, you know, go and have like these hard fought kind of matches or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we'll go with Mysterio. All right, jump right into it. Yeah.
Who we got?
Daniel, we're going to start with you first. Ultimo Dragon, Austin Aries.
Come on. I love Austin Aries, his work. But Ultimo Dragon, because then we get to see, you know, the classic that is Ultimo Dragon and Rey Mysterio, which I love their match. So Austin Aries, it would be good. And he'd be a good – because you're kind of – I guess it's heel versus heel, but they can both work. And I don't mind heel versus heel matches. Either one would be a good foil for Rey Mysterio in the next round. So this is a little harder, but I have to go Ultimo Dragon.
All right. Kenny, go ahead.
Yeah, I would go with, this is a great example of why Dragon is a great pick for the spot, because here you have him play the baby face, and he can play Austin Aries, can play the chicken shit heel, and the guy who, like, you know, he's going to try to be the tough guy, and then he's gonna, all of a sudden Dragon will start kicking him, and he'll start selling the kicks like he's dying. So, Dragon for this, you know, again, Dragon is now then, depending on what we do next, we can turn, you know, now Dragon can play the heel for Rey. It's like, he's a perfect guy for a spot. Aries, you know, is great, but I mean, like, does anybody remember him now, let alone 20 years from now? No. But they're going to remember Dragon, and they're going to remember Rey, so it's got to be Dragon.
Exactly. All right, Eric?
I'm going with Ultimate Dragon, too.
Okay. Well, it would be kind of foolish not to at this point, since Daniel and Kenny both already said Dragon. But, yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
I think it would be, like, one of the more interesting matches of the tournament.
Yeah.
And Classic. Aries would be a hell of a heel to go to the next round. But, yeah, like, there's no way he could beat Dragon in a cruiserweight match, unless he cheated.
Which I'm cool with.
But yeah, no, we'll put Dragon over.
Okay.
All right. Eric, we're going to start with you on this one. Billy Kidman, Darby Allin.
Oh, this is tough. I like both guys. This would be a great matchup. Both have unique styles. But I kind of like Darby Allin moving on here. Just because he's the underdog, at least my underdog. So I'm going to go with Darby Allin. I think his style, I think, could be Billy Kidman.
All right. Daniel.
I'm going to agree with Eric. I'd rather see Darby Allin move on here. I think Billy Kidman, hell of a worker. I love his, like, lazy, laid-back character. Like Kenny said, I never know he was supposed to emulate a heroin addict, but now I'm seeing it, you know, just thinking about it. And his relaxed kind of, you know, it is what it is type character. He is good, and he's always been good, but, you know, Darby's just the wild card of this thing. Let's keep him moving. I'm going Darby.
Exactly.
All right. Kenny.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go with Darby. I mean, Kidman, I always like, you know, this Kidman's fine. But, like, I think he was bottom of the main event, top of the mid-card guy, and Darby Allin just has potential.
I agree.
Right. I mean,
that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. All right, let's move right on in. Kenny, we'll start with you. Super Crazy or Pac?
Super crazy pack. I would have to say, in terms of what we can do with it, you almost have to go Pack because, like, you know, Darby Allin is, you know, Rey Mysterio is going to be the hero, obviously, and Darby Allin is going to be the face, obviously. So you almost have to go with Pack. Just logically. So Pac.
Right. Well, it makes sense logically because you're going to have a heel baby face in the first match with Dragon and Mysterio.
Yeah, so that's all the while to make it go different, though, too.
Yeah.
Maybe give him two baby faces, give him super crazy having fun in the next round. I'm going for Pac playing Devil's Advocate.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it would still be a fun, you know, semifinal matchup to have him advance. But no. Yeah, it's going to be.
All right. Eric?
I'm going with Pac. I just like the matchup between Pac and Darby Allin, which we could have in real life someday.
We have had it.
Yeah, exactly.
For what we're trying to convey in the tournament, Super Crazy and Darby Allin, that feels much more like a first round thing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a semi.
No, not a semi. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. We're in the semis right now.
Yeah.
All right. And Daniel, I'll start with you on this one. Rey Mysterio, Ultimo Dragon. Who's going to the final and why?
Can I just give, like, my last pitch here on both of them? Like, I can't do one
can't
without...
Right,
so,
go ahead.
Ultimo Dragon has to beat Rey Mysterio in my head. Just because it's a wild card, obviously Rey Mysterio is the favorite of this thing. Yes, he's an under... But he's Rey Mysterio in a Cruiserweight tournament. To me, Darby Allin is much better for that undercard role, and we're going to tie into that because... I would have him beat Pac, and I would have the wild card Darby Allin, you know, very eccentric, very, you know, just oddball against a very, you know, put together wrestler, you know, the ideal badass Ultimo Dragon. Just that's such an interesting final match of this tournament to me, Darby Allin and Ultimo Dragon. I'd be so interested in seeing that. Just even thinking about it now, like, I want to see that match. That's kind of a dream match. And it'd be so cool. We've seen, on the other, you know, side of the spectrum, Pac and Rey Mysterio would be just as awesome. But there's just something about Ultimo that really has my, it's really got me intrigued. I'd really like to see that. And it's too much of a hero story to have Rey Mysterio come and sweep this whole thing. You know, it'd be a nice shock to have him go out in the semifinals, and then it builds up Darby Allin. Like, can he beat Ultimo Dragon? He's looked badass this whole time. There's no way Darby's going to be able to do this. And he's hurt after the Pac match. His Pac beats the hell out of him after or something because he's a bastard. So that's what I would do.
Okay. Eric.
I like what Daniel said, but I'm gonna say this just to be kind of different, but it's not my final choice. But a Rey Mysterio versus Darby Allin match would be intriguing too. You got the older underdog versus the current underdog, and. In my head, I would have Darby Allin beat Rey Mysterio because that would be the ultimate, passing of the torch. But that's just me. But in reality, I would go with Ultimate Dragon because I think he needs to move on to the final.
All righty. Kenny.
Okay, so I'm going to go to pitch. Okay, so... Try to get this. You're going to have Rey go over. But, so you're going to have Rey go over, and you're going to have Darby go over. And then, now we've got this. Old school, the old guard versus the new guard. You've got Rey Mysterio, who, yes, he's a hero, but he's a veteran. And, yes, and then you got Darby Allin. So now you're going to go with Rey or Darby. Now you can have Rey. He can play the heel, quote-unquote, because you're going to have a split crowd, most likely. But Rey, because he's a veteran, he's not going to heel in the sense that he can, like, kick Darby in the ball, but he can take a little shortcut, like, you know, snap the rope on him, or, you know, hey, oh, I stumbled in the ropes while you were on the top rope and you fell and hit your ball, you know, that kind of thing. Where he's not cheating, but he's not, you know, exactly playing by the rules. And then you can have, I would also have Darby win it, so, you know, he could progress it to that. So Darby, Rey Mysterio, Darby Allin finals. Darby is the winner. Done.
All right. So since we're still trying to, are you okay with Rey and Darby making it to the final? Since these two guys kind of pitched it.
Well, if that's the way they were going, then that's the way they were. That's definitely, that's not my pitch. No, but you know, I'm just a humble worker at the Turner offices.
Because, and here's actually, like, here's how I'm going to kind of say, because I do agree that, like, with the dragon pitch, okay, because it is a really good pitch, but I do like the old guard versus the new guard type thing, though, too.
Should I argue it a little bit? Because my only thing would be, I don't think you have any heat there, and you're splitting the crowd unnecessary for no reason, and Rey Mysterio would have to kick somebody in the balls for people to hate him. He's only been booed like one time, and that's because people wanted Daniel Bryan instead of him to come out. Or was it somebody else?
No, it was. No, you are correct.
That's the only time he's ever gotten booed. People love Rey Mysterio. Him doing little like nuances, it would be cool, and like we'll catch it, and fans like us would catch it. But it's not like the crowd's going to turn on him. Right. If anything, they'll probably turn on Darby because they're so into Rey Mysterio. To me, with Ultimo Dragon going against Darby, it's passing the torch in a different way because you're having a guy that beat the legend Rey Mysterio, and now it's like Ultimo is the end-all, be-all, and Darby's got to prove himself against him, and he's still the underdog. He's went through these brutal matches against Pac, and who did he face?
Kidman. You know, he had to beat Chris Sabin in the first round.
Exactly. Those are hard matches. And he went through all that. To me, I would have him go against the heel just because it sets him up to get a bigger pop at the end. But I'm down to roll on the Mysterio train, too.
All right.
It's up to you, Doug.
It's up to you, Doug. That's my last pitch, but also majority rules, so we can roll with Mysterio.
I do like
No, I mean the pitch, but I said Ultimate Dragon.
Huh?
I made that pitch by Ultimate. At the end, I said Ultimate Dragon.
Oh, okay. So it's up to you, Doug. All right. So we will go, even though I do like what Kenny said, and I do like the pitch that Eric made, ultimately, I do like your pitch better. Okay? Because I do agree that Darby has to go against the heel in this final. So we are going to go, and Kenny, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, JR, but we had to go against you.
Wait, does that make me Bruce? I don't want to be Bruce.
Well, it doesn't make you Pat Patterson. I mean,
I'm not the good one.
I mean, you could be Pat Patterson if you wanted to be.
No one can be Pat Patterson.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Absolutely.
I mean, Eric can't be Bruce Pritchard because Bruce kisses Vince's ass and Eric kisses everybody but Vince.
Hey.
But anyway, I digress. We are going to go. So the final is going to be Ultimo Dragon and Darby Allin.
I'm fine with that.
All right. Daniel, we'll start with you.
I agree with everything else about that. Darby's got to win this thing. Ultimo Dragon, I mean, it would just be like, it would end like everyone would be like, oh, like if Ultimo Dragon. I mean, sometimes he'll have to go over, but. This is built Darby as the ultimate underdog. Like, this is his time to shine, you know. He's got everything against him, and he's got to rise up. And that's why I put Ultimo ahead, because in that dream match, it would be hard for me not to give it to Rey Mysterio. But him versus Ultimo Dragon, you got to give it to Darby Allin. You got the new Cruiserweight champion, and you got the Cruiserweight of the future. Totally sets the division up for new horizons.
Exactly.
Eric?
I'm going with Darby. He's been my guy since the beginning, so it would be weird not to go with him now.
Okay. Kenny.
Darby Allin. Yeah. Obviously, that's the guy we're going with. I mean, I really, there's no reason Thanks for all you've done to give, you know, Dragon the win. So why else? You know, it's got to be Dragon.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree. This thing, because this tournament basically, I mean, and in the beginning we kind of made it seem like it was made for Mysterio, but it's really, it was made for Darby, especially with the matches we made him.
Yeah. And even if we have Mysterio go, I mean, it's pretty much the same result. We all pretty much agree Darby's kind of the guy.
Yeah, Darby's basically the new guard to the old guard.
Exactly. So whoever we have is the old guard, Ultimo and Ray, same result pretty much.
Yeah. So, all right. Darby Allin is the fantasy Unscripted Wrestling Fantasy Warfare Cruiserweight Champion.
Congratulations. Biggest accomplishment.
Yeah.
Well, it is so far.
Yeah. TNT belt doesn't get any love, Kenny?
No, you're not even on TNT anymore.
Just the TBS championship.
There's no, the TNT belt is ridiculous now. That's why you shouldn't really, like, you like, probably shouldn't name stuff after what isn't a sure thing.
You should have just named it the TV title from the beginning.
Ding, 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 there you go.
Yeah. I mean, but
could you imagine
we'll talk about
that. Could you imagine if the WWE changed it to the Spike title and there'd still be a damn Spike network that doesn't even exist anymore?
They'd have to go to Paramount. We'll talk more about the TNT title and all the AEW stuff tomorrow on Boardroom Annex. Basically, Boardroom Annex is to preview it. It's going to be the same thing as technically what we're doing here, except we're actually booking something that is actually going to happen. And we're saying how we would book it, and, you know, if we were in charge, which we are not. But
well, they'd be better off with us in charge than Tony Goofball.
Tony Goofball.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad about Tony Khan tomorrow, so I'm glad Kenny's going to be there.
Yeah. So, and it'll be myself, Kenny, Eric, and Boxman tomorrow. Actually, this will be the first time Boxman and Kenny have been on a podcast together. Oh, Lord.
No, this could be really bad or really good for your numbers here.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, we're on the rise. So this is, yeah. So we'll see. It's going to be fun. Tune into that tomorrow night. Tomorrow morning, Daniel and I will be recording Unscripted Unlimited, and that will be released at a later, in a day or two after.
Probably Monday.
A geek show. And, Teddy, I haven't really talked to you about that. If you ever want to come on that, we bring up your boy Batman a lot. I don't know if you want to ever talk about that stuff.
What show is that?
It's like our geek show. It's Unscripted Unlimited. We talk a lot about like comics and Batman and stuff like that, superheroes.
Give me a heads up. Let me know what the topics are, and I'll let you know if I can add something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And those are usually done. That show's usually done on Saturday morning. Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
All right,
boys.
Cool.
Pleasure as always.
Absolutely.
Right. Thanks, Kenny.
We'll see you guys later.
Yep,
have a good
tomorrow.
One, guys.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Okay, goodbye, guys.
Later, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.